We pray, Lord, grant us wisdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. When I was a student on this campus, there was a day on which I was really down, discouraged. I talked about it with a friend, but received little comfort. It wasn't until later that the words came to me, "What are you so discouraged about? Your sins have been forgiven. What else matters?" Later on in my life, I was going through a period of depression. One of the things that helped me get through was a small book of devotions for the sick. As I recall, there weren't any particular devotions on depression, but what they all had in common was that they're simple and wonderful presentations of the gospel. The mercy of God in Christ Jesus has gotten me through a lot of tough times. In this, the last of my chapels for this year, at any rate, on the subject of wisdom, we look to the words of the Spirit through James. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wisdom is full of mercy. What's mercy? Well, there may be many feelings connected with mercy, but that's not what it really is. Mercy is an active attitude rather than just a passive feeling. Mercy does things. Someone once said that every prayer we offer to God can be summed up with three words: Lord, have mercy. If God responds to our prayer by giving us what we ask for, then that constitutes mercy. If he withholds what we request, then that is the merciful thing. Mercy sees our need and reaches out to do whatever is necessary, whether or not we recognize our need, whether or not we agree with the response of God. Mercy does what is best for us. Imagine yourself walking down a street after a storm, and there in the gutter you see a dirty, wet kitten. You reach down to pick it up, and it snarls, striking out at your hand with tooth and claw. Still, you want to do the merciful thing. So you remove your coat, wrap it around your hand, and reach down, using your coat to wrap up that snarling little beast. You take it home, carefully clean it up, doing whatever is necessary for its welfare, regardless of the fact that it is constantly resisting you. You and I have been snarling little beasts in the hand of God. We did not recognize our own needs, but we lashed out at God, seeing him not as a friend, but as an enemy. Yet our merciful God did the merciful thing. He washed us clean of our sins in the blood of his own Son and wrapped us in the cloak of Christ's righteousness. Moreover, he continues to do the merciful thing, although we don't immediately recognize and appreciate what he does. In the end, however, when we've been able to look back on what he has done in our lives, we repent of our ingratitude and thank him for being merciful to us in spite of ourselves. Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." We've seen how God is merciful. Now, do you know somebody who is in need? It may be somebody who does not recognize his need. It may be somebody who doesn't like you particularly. And perhaps you don't like her. However, the need is there, and you are there. Be merciful, just as your Father has been merciful to you. Maybe you're hesitant about reaching out to that person because you don't really know what is needed. Our text tells us that wisdom is full of mercy, so pray for wisdom. Wisdom will know what to do and when to do it. In some instances, it may be the merciful thing to rebuke that person with the law, because that's what he needs. It may be that the need for that person is comfort. Comforting that person with Christ's word of forgiveness. The fact of the matter is that the reason for the rebuking is actually so that you can end up comforting that person with the gospel. However, the rebuke is necessary if she is allowing her sins to stand in the way of her comfort. In mercy, you need to expose those sins. In mercy, you need to announce forgiveness. For the person who is sick or sad, full of want or worry, there's nothing better that you can do than that which Christ did when a paralyzed man was brought to him. And he says to the paralyzed man, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." He didn't say, "Be of good cheer, I'm going to heal you." He did heal him. But the good cheer came not because of the healing, but because of the forgiveness. No matter what's happening in a person's life, if he knows that everything is okay between him and God, then he can weather any of the storms of life. If it were in my power to give you a gift as you leave ILC, the gift would be this, that you know the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. You know the mercy that has done everything necessary to get you to heaven. And, together with that, that you have the wisdom to be merciful, to calm the troubled hearts of this world with whom you come into contact. Calm them down with the same knowledge that you have. So God grant that all of you may be merciful, even as your Father in heaven has been merciful to you. We turn to hymn 439. We'll sing verse 1 and then verses 4 and 5. not to remind the, excuse me,